you know, when you're dependent, you don't really, you know, I didn't figure I'd use a walker for a while. I figured I'd be up in my 70s and 80s before I used a walker. And, but you're dependent kind of like a little baby. You have to be dependent on others. You have to be dependent on God. Amen. And we take that for granted a lot of times. We're healthy and we're getting about and you know, we're enjoying life and we're enjoying the things of life, and we take for granted all those that can't get out, that are dependent on us to pray for them and to call them and to go by and see them. And we a lot of times forget about that. And I appreciate all of the times that someone has called me or that has come by to see me or that has sent me a card of thanks or a card just letting me know that they're thinking about me. And you know, that gives you hope of, you know, restoring your health again. And I didn't realize that my back was in such a shape as it was, and my spinal cord and everything, but I'd gotten down to where I couldn't walk and didn't have any motion in my left leg and very little in my right, and I was pretty much paralyzed. And the doctor told me that there was a pretty good chance I could be paralyzed for the rest of my life without surgery or doing any kind of intervention. And so I'm just thankful to have what I have. And originally I was told 4 surgeries, and then we had the first 2, one on my neck and one on my back. And then they told me that I didn't need the other 2 surgeries. So I'm very thankful about that, that I don't need or have to have the other 2 surgeries, and that hopefully that everything will heal back like it ought to, and that I'll be able to get around and be independent. That's what we would like in our lives, to be free from pain and free from sickness and free from other things. That's not always the case with any of us. What I've really been thinking about, though, is in 2 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, you maybe turn and read with me. But here in the 6th chapter, and I'd like to look at the 6th chapter. I don't know if I'll read all of it or not, but there's quite a bit of thought and quite a bit of meaning in the 6th chapter. And I'm going to read down here in the 17th chapter. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, the word that I would like to think about is that word separate. What is he talking about? What is he calling us out to be separate from? And who's he talking to? The book, or the letter to the Corinthians, was written to the Corinthians. It was written to children of God. It was written to saints of God. And if you remember, the first letter that he wrote to the Corinthians was a letter of rebuke. It was a letter of chastisement. He got on to them on all the different things that they were failing to do as Christians. things that they were failing to do as the children of God. And we look at that, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know, whenever Abraham received a promise from God, he was called to leave the land that he was in and to go to a country that he didn't know. And he separated himself from that land. And he was made a promise. The promise of God was made to him. And then to his son, and then to his son. And then we have the 12 children of Jacob, Israel. And the promises that was made to them. And then he called them out of Egypt to separate them from the world that they were in. And then whenever the commandments were made, and whenever he spoke to the children of God through Moses and Aaron, he called them to be separate. And because we are separate, we are peculiar. We are the children of God. We're separate from the world that is around us. As children of God, we have an unction within our hearts. We have a thought and a desire that goes beyond what the world's thoughts are and what the world's ideas are. And we have a love and a desire within us to be a child. You know, a lot of times when I was growing up, I was my father's child. But I didn't always act like my father's child. I acted like something that was foreign to him. I didn't even want to be around him sometimes. I didn't want to have anything to do with him sometimes. And that's natural for all of us to be like that, to want to get away from the rule of our father. But yet at the same time, we're dependent on our fathers and our mothers. We're dependent on that instruction. We're dependent on that love. We're dependent on that. But he called out Israel to be separate from the world, to be separate. And notice what the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to read what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians here. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Notice what he's fixing to tell the Corinthians. Notice what the Apostle Paul is trying to say to them about the ministry, about those that are the heads of the church. And I'm thankful for the leadership that I've witnessed over the years. My father, Brother Barrington's father, and different ones who have set an example for me to follow. Brother Yarbrough, and just different ones that I can look to. Brother Barrington, and that I can look up to and be thankful that they were setting an example that I could look to. But notice what the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Now think about that for just a moment as Christians, because that's what the Apostle Paul is calling the Corinthian church to be, is to be Christians, is to be a better Christian. I mean, because I have brothers and sisters in Christ who are somewhat lenient about what they do, and I have other brothers and sisters in Christ that are, I see their faith and I feel that I fall way short of having that zeal, of having that that mentality, of having that desire. And notice again what he's saying here. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye as enlarged, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do we do that sometimes? We're unequally yoked with those that do not believe. I do. But then it goes on and it says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And that brings a really good, strong point. We are the temple of God. And not just everyone is the temple, because he's calling us out to be separate from the world, from non-believers, for those that cannot believe, those that are unregenerate, those that have no desire in God. What makes something clean or unclean? You know, you go back and you think about the old Bible, the Old Testament, and you think back in the days of Noah, and he said, I want you to bring on the ark so many clean animals, and I want you to bring on so many unclean animals. What made those animals clean or unclean? It was the very word of God. Just because God said that they were clean or unclean is what made them clean or unclean. What is it that makes you clean or clean? Clean or unclean? He speaks to your heart. He cuts that circle around your heart. And there's a distinction in your heart that the world does not have. The communication that is there that the world does not have. And he's calling out his children to be children, to be faithful children. Not unfaithful children, but faithful children. And that's what the Apostle Paul is calling out the Corinthians here to be, is to be faithful children. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You notice Israel, he didn't say that to any other people. He didn't say that to the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, any of those other people that were back in those days. He didn't make an agreement with them, the Egyptians. He didn't make an agreement with them. He called out his people, the ones that he had made a covenant with, and he called them out to be separate. And he gave them commandment to be separate. And he gave them instructions in righteousness to be separate from the world. And that's what he's calling out the Corinthians here. And I'm not saying that we're as the Corinthians, but I know that I am periodically like the Corinthians. I fail in so many ways, and that I have different things that I think about that I shouldn't think about. And then I read this, and it says, what does light have to do with darkness? Or what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath that believeth with an infidel? You know, and I look at those things. What does clean have to do with unclean? They're separate. They're different. And the reason they're different is what God has done for them. What God has done for us. And I wonder, just to show how, and there's so much more about this. We think about Christ, who is the mediator between God and man. That's what separates us. And that's what distinguishes us from sinful sinners that have no desire for God. And those that do is that sacrifice that was made for God's children on the cross. That's what distinguished God's children, was when that sacrifice was made on the cross. And it wasn't just a general sacrifice for anybody and everybody. That was a specific sacrifice. Those sacrifices that were made under the old law, they were not made for those other nations that I mentioned earlier. They were only made for the Israelite people. That's the only ones that those sacrifices were made for. The burnt offerings, the sacrifice, the atonement that was made, that was the only nation that was those sacrifices that were made for. And whenever Christ made his sacrifice, whenever he offered himself to God without spot, that sacrifice was made for his children and for his children only. And so we read in the Roman letter over here, and I'll read from the 29th chapter. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Among many brethren. Here we are, brothers and sisters in Christ. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There Christ is on the mercy seat, as a mediator between God and men, distinguishing his children and justifying us in his sacrifice. Whenever God's punishment, we would have all have been justly been condemned to hell and to never have known any of the righteousness of God. But yet Christ, in his sacrifice that he made, he sits as a mediator between God and men, and has given us the heart that we have. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now see, there's a different separation here. Who's going to pull us away from God? Who can separate us from God? You know, we look at the world's doctrine and they'll say, well, if you do this or if you don't do this, that's going to separate you from God. And there is a separation in fellowship. But this is talking about the eternal separation. There's not an eternal separation from God for His children. His children will be with God in eternity. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. See, there's the key. God loved us. God loved His children. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. There's a separation there between the two. There's two nations within the womb. That's what the mother was told, that there was two manner of nations in the womb. And God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, as children of God, who know that we cannot be separated from the love of God, He calls to us and He tells us to be separate from the world. And that is what we ought to do, to be separate from the world, to not be a part of the world as God's children, to be faithful children unto God, as you are faithful to your mothers and fathers. Be a faithful child to your God. I thank you for your kind attention, and if I've said anything you need to explain, just come and ask me.
Keep your seat, brother. You said more in 20 minutes than I could say in 3 hours. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has brought you back to us today. And I want this congregation to take these words that the Lord has put on your heart. You know, I pray for this to happen to me, that the Holy Spirit would speak through me. The Lord had His hand on you, brother. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm not going to say anything to mess it up. So we're going to sing a song. We're going to all come up and shake, give Brother Joe a right hand of our love and devotion. We're going to shake hands with each other. We're going to sing a song called The Lord Has Been So Good to Me. And I don't know what the number is, but my sister will find it here in just a second.
No pressure at all.
296. Number 296. You can keep your seat now. You don't have to stand. You do whatever you want to.
I'll try to stand as much as I can because I'm cold. They tell me standing and walking is good for me. So.
Okay. Let's sing and let's rejoice in our Lord and Savior. If there be anybody here this morning, you know, forget that, like to be a part of Midland Primitive Baptist Church, all you got to do is come up and tell us. It's not a great big deal, and we would all rejoice coming home to be with us and to be part of us. No. The Lord has been so good to me, I want to sing.